I'm no better than you. You know, I'm a 960 SAT guy. I cannot, you've never seen me read a speech because I cannot read a speech.
In the shadowy corridors of Sacramento's one-party fiefdom, Governor Gavin Newsom once again stands exposed as the master architect of yet another taxpayer-funded grift. This time, it's a $20 million diaper deal funneled through a nonprofit network tied to his wife.
40 million diapers, as many diapers will be distributed this year as Californians. We'll get to 80 million next year. The goal ultimately is 160 million, but we'll start 25% of the need, get up to 50% of the need next year. So we're going to go where the need is greatest first, and we'll start with 400 diapers.
The state is set to hand out 40 million diapers at a bloated 50 cents a piece. That is 8 to 10 times what bulk buyers pay at Costco. The math doesn't add up for the very families it's supposed to help.
All right, so Gavin Newsom is taking $20 million of your money to send 100,000 babies 400 diapers. That works out at 50 cents per diaper. We just came into Target to check out what you could buy it for in the store. Here you go, just check this one out here. $162, $26, that works out at 16 cents per diaper. Gavin Newsom's diapers are three times more expensive. This isn't even Costco. Why is it three times more expensive for Gavin Newsom to send diapers to 100,000 babies than just leaving the money in the bank account to the parents in the first place? Because he's going to some total bullshit non-profit which cronies of his are going to make money, and that is what is wrong with California. Instead of just cutting taxes so you can afford diapers and sending it out in this ridiculous bureaucratic scheme.
But let's pull back the curtain on the full empire of waste and connections that defines Newsom's reign. This diaper debacle joins a rap sheet of epic failures. $18 billion and counting poured into the high-speed rail with zero trains running. Then there's the homeless industrial complex. $37 billion spent under his watch, turning California into the nation's unhoused capital with zero accountability for where the money vanished as tent cities swell and audits go ignored.
The homeless, they lose $20 billion, but they want more money for it. Well, that's why people get tired of paying taxes and going, well, what are you doing? Gavin Newsom just vetoed a bill asking for an audit of where the money for homeless goes. He said, not a chance.
Add the COVID-era EDD unemployment fraud that bled an estimated $33 billion to scammers, prisoners, and ghosts.
They let out half of the prisoners out of the state of California. They have basically decriminalized most criminal offenses here. They are not serious about crime. So the federal government's stepping in, and when we charge you, you're looking at serious prison time.
Even his former chief of staff has faced fraud charges.
Federal officials have charged former chief of staff to Governor Gavin Newsom, Dana Williamson, with public corruption, fraud, obstruction of justice, and tax crimes. The 23-count indictment accuses Williamson of conspiring to divert nearly $250,000 from a dormant political campaign to an associate's personal use. The indictment also alleges that Williamson filed false tax returns claiming more than $1 million in business deductions for personal expenses, including a private jet and luxury hotel stays.
Newsom's California isn't governance. It's a self-perpetuating machine of connected nonprofits, cronies, and vanishing public funds.
Man, Gavin is an innovator. I swear this state is being run by the mob. Everyone in government is milking taxpayers through these shady NGOs, and nowhere is it more pervasive than Karen Basura's LA, where the homeless organization's raking cash, but the problem continues to fester. Ever wonder why we pour billions of our taxpayer dollars into homelessness, and yet you only see more filth and drug addicts on the streets? It's because it's all a scam.
While everyday Californians dodge needles on sidewalks, Newsom is a broken flip-flopping record, doing 180s on everything from reparations to oil production to health care for illegals to defunding the police. The pattern is corruption as plain as the sunset over Monterey Bay. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
All right, folks, and like always, you can find and share John Bound's work at alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. War Room begins in about 90 seconds. Share that link, tell your friends, and tune in. We got a big show for you today. The War Room, 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Me.
make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, War Room Live. You can follow us at Alex Jones Live. Follow us on X at AJN Live. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. We got a big show for you today. And I don't know, I hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope everybody had a wonderful Mother's Day. We went camping for Mother's Day. It was quite the experience. I don't know what to make of my experience. We went to Longhorn Caverns. Have you ever heard of Longhorn Caverns? It's like a cave system that, was basically created as part of the New Deal. And, you know, obviously, as a more libertarian leaning person, I tend to oppose gigantic nationwide, you know, mobilization activity just to, you know, pay people to do busy work. It's like ostensibly, seemingly, it's the type of thing I would be resolutely opposed to nowadays. Nowadays, I'd be opposed to it. Back then, though, like, you basically, there's this cave system that was full of debris. They hauled out something like 30 tons of debris. But in the 1930s, when there was depression, there was massive homelessness and, you know, vagrancy. It wasn't even really homelessness. It was vagrancy, right? It was people going from place to place trying to find work. And so FDR is like, well, we'll make the CCC. It's called the CCC. It's like the Civilian Conservation Corps, something like that. Not actually sure exactly what it was titled. But it's basically like every lake in Texas was built, like a dam was built in the 1930s as part of this movement. And like you travel around the towns today that sit on lakes in Texas, and it's like, obviously there's the boating industry that's there. There's the fishing industry, the boating sports, you know, wakeboarding and water skiing. And, you know, every restaurant there is sort of a, you know, lake themed type of, and you just sit there and you go, what would this place have looked like if they hadn't built that dam and made this lake? Like, what industry would it have? What, I don't know. You just think about like, man, this was a time when, even if it was the government coming in and doing what the government does, it was positive. It was a good thing to have. And these guys got good jobs where they were doing physical labor, just hauling rocks out of a cavern. But what do you get at the end of it? Here we are 100 years later, and I saw like 400 people in that cave in one day. It's just people going through constantly, constantly generating money, constantly generating interest, constantly supporting all of the little businesses around, because you go to the caverns and you got to go have lunch, or you got to go, and it's, you know, beautiful. And the scientific, you know, discoveries that they made there, the testing of mammoth bones, figuring out how the Native Americans used to drive the mammoths into a big pit and they'd fall into the cave and you'd have, you know, natives in there waiting to kill them. There was an awesome story where there's this one giant room they called the Council House, and it's just a giant underground cavern. And back in the day, the sun would come through. The Cherokee had a rule that they couldn't meet anywhere the sun didn't shine. And so the only place they would meet in this cave was this one place where the sun would come through. And at one point, the Cherokee kidnapped some white girls. I think either one or two white women. They kidnap them. They take them back to this cave system. And then there's a story. It's in the 1840s. Three Texas Rangers drop down in a different entrance to the cave system, make their way through this pitch black, you know, tunnel system and ambush the Cherokee. Three guys against like, you know, 50 Cherokee, but they have the element of surprise. They grab the women, they escape. It was like, it's like, totally, it's like a Conan the Barbarian story. It's like the coolest story you've ever heard. And of course, as the tour guide is giving us, she's like, well, I don't really like telling this story because the woman who wrote the article about what happened, she was pretty biased against the natives. And it's like, you mean biased against the kidnappers? You mean she was biased against the kidnappers who were holding the women hostage to kill them? You don't say. You don't say. She was biased against them. Was she? And it's just, it's sad to see how that mindset has permeated absolutely everywhere. I'm sorry. I think it's pretty badass and heroic for three dudes to go into a pitch black tunnel system, six stories under the ground, and ambush. I mean, it's like I've played that level on Skyrim a couple times. It really happened back in the day. The heroism of our ancestors is being deliberately forgotten these days, and it's very sad. But again, this idea of like, I don't know, you look at what maybe 10 years ago I would have said, socialist nonsense, right? Oh, a work program, sure, you're just wasting good taxpayer money on nonsense. Then you like see like, oh no, wait. No, they put 500 guys to work for 6 years, and now we have a cavern that's an endless generator of revenue. It's an endless generator of interest. It's an endless generator of scientific discovery and, investigation. It's an amazing thing. And so you look at what maybe principally I'd be against with the government doing this. Then you look at the way the government acts now, and it's like at least back then they actually were helping the people. At least they actually wanted to give a job to the unemployed people, not just pay the unemployed people to stay unemployed. You take, you know, an example, because even back then, you know, it was people going, whoa, we don't like this. This is a little bit too like Mussolini or Hitler, because Mussolini and Hitler obviously had these sort of like militarized youth gangs that would go around, and they weren't a part of the military necessarily, but they weren't not a part of the military at the same time. And the conservation corps was kind of like that, where it was under the military, like the U.S. Army provided engineers to go out and build the dams and stuff. And so it was a bunch of people at the time going, oh, it looks like this FDR guy is setting up his own brown shirt force, black shirt force like Mussolini did. We don't really like this. And it's like, what we wouldn't give for a United States president that just like gave out good paying jobs to people who have been boxed out of the economy for no reason, you know, of their own cause, right? It's not like you guys were just lazy and didn't want to work. They wanted to work. There were just no jobs. So FDR created jobs. And here, looking back 100 years later, seeing all of the lakes in Texas, all of them being sort of fonts of industry and prosperity and recreation, if nothing else. And it's like, we used to be a real country. We used to at least try to be a real country, at least try to build things that were beautiful and create things that were useful for us. What we wouldn't give for a government program that actually benefited people and gave them jobs and built something that lasted and built something that generated revenue. You look at what the U.S. government is doing now, and it's just miserable. I mean, it really is just like nowadays, they certainly wouldn't hire the white guys to go dig out the tunnels and the rocks. They'd be hiring, you know, Indians or whatever else. And, you know, the tunnel, they'd spend $10 billion and the tunnel would get more debris in it somehow. I don't know. I don't know how they pull these things off, but that's literally like, it's actually exactly what happens. Like, imagine if the government was like, oh, we're going to do a work program. We're going to clear out these caverns of debris. And then you come back like 10 years later, they spent $2 billion. Nine people have died in the process, and there's somehow more debris in the caverns than there were at the end of it. It's like, I don't know. I'm sort of just, it's like, it's not that I'm against the guy. I'm against whatever this is. Whatever we have now, I'm against it. It's not because it's government doing it. It's because it's the government doing things that cannot ever possibly have any sort of consequence that's not negative. It doesn't benefit the American people. It doesn't put anybody to work. It doesn't build things that last. It's not creating new industries here in America. You just see the way that the government reacted and people reacted and communities reacted back then to really things that they, on an individual level, couldn't do much to control, couldn't do much to fight back against. And then you compare it with what we do nowadays, with the problems that aren't even really existent. It's like, at least we had a real country back then. At least we had something and not just endless exploitation, endless just siphoning away of our wealth and our energy and our prosperity and everything else. And it really is, pathetic. It's, we also live in a world where people go camping with Bluetooth speakers to play rap songs. So maybe I'm just done with this planet overall. But there were other things. And again, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know why we allow our small towns to be destroyed in the way that they have. But like, if you want to really feel the decline of the West, go drive through some small towns in Texas, because you can tell they were beautiful once. You can tell that they used to be populated by people who cared and built things meant to last and were establishing roots. And now it's just Dollar Generals and used car parts stores. And it's just like, what have they done to us? And it's deliberate. And I don't understand why we make the choices that we make. And it's not that like poverty is necessarily ugly, right? It's like we like surround ourselves with filth and ugliness on purpose when we don't have to. It's just crazy. And I don't even know how to describe it, but, and people from the Northeast, we have different highway systems here. Like in the Northeast, if you drive on the highway, you see, it's just like a tunnel of trees. And then you like exit if you actually want to do anything. In Texas, the highways are just like big streets. Like the businesses are just right off the highway. So you just exit and you're right there. And again, if you've never driven in places like this, it would be kind of hard to understand. I'm driving down the highway and I'm looking out the window and it's just sort of ugliness. It's just sort of like, you know, rotted out industrial parks and old dilapidated collapsed sheet metal buildings. And it's just like kind of ugly. And then there's just one moment I'm going 70, 80 miles an hour down the highway, but there's just one moment where suddenly there's an unused lot, right? Lot after lot after lot has this just ugly detritus. It's despicable. And then just like for a fleeting moment, there's just an empty field and it's these rolling hills with, and it's wildflower season. So the whole thing's just blanketed in these yellows and reds and not a lot of blue bonnets this year, kind of weirdly, but just, it's just this colorful blanket of grass and totally empty big prairie. And right in the middle is this magnificent oak tree, probably, you know, 20 feet around, circumference, like just this magnificent, huge oak, sprawling branches. And it's like, you know, trash, trash, detritus, woof. And it's just this prairie, this beautiful Hollywood picturesque prairie. And then whoop, trailer park. And it's just like, wow, we really don't deserve this. We really don't deserve the paradise that we've been given. The brilliant beauty that just exists. We don't have to do anything. We didn't have to, but we do ruin it, but we do show up and we do ruin it. And I don't know why. I don't know why everything is so ugly. I don't know why everything is so, exploitative. I don't get it, but we've gone so far off the path at this point. Like, I'm not even hating on like people live in trailer parks. It's great. It's probably, you know, a great, you know, solution to certain, you know, living situations. I can see people being like, you know, mad. I'm talking about how ugly the trailer park is, but like, I think you could have a nice looking trailer park. I don't think there's anything incumbent in, you know, even poverty or like small town stuff that just means it has to be ugly. But it's almost like we've accepted this idea that it's like, well, you know, we're a small town. So of course there's just rusted out auto parts on the lawn. Of course there's just, you know, giant billboards advertising the sex shop at the edge of the town. Like, yeah, whatever. And it's just like, where's the pride? And at the end of it, that's what I think it comes down to. It's just like, how do we reinvigorate pride in this country? Especially because it's a feedback loop, because people don't have pride in their communities. They don't have pride in their country. They don't look after it. They don't take care of it. Well, my neighborhood's house is crappy. That neighbor's house is crappy. Why should my house be any better? So you just let yourself succumb to the ease with which things disintegrate and are destroyed. And then you look around, you go, well, why would I have pride in this? Everything's destroyed and ugly and gross and dangerous. So who cares? And it just sucks, man, because what you have is you can go back and watch the old documentaries they play at Longhorn Caverns and see the 1930s when it was supposedly just the pit of despair and just misery on all hands and people were starving to death. And it was like, I'd rather live then. You look at it and everybody seems nice. Nobody's stabbing each other in the town square. Yeah, it was kind of hard to find food, but when you got food, it wasn't processed and sent from Argentina to Vietnam to Guam and back to you. You know, it's just like, how have we let everything go so off the rails in this country? And how the hell do we get it back? And I don't know if I have answers, but man, you take a drive around small town Texas and it's like, we got some really big problems to solve here. And then there's little pockets that are just beautiful and the people are amazing, obviously. But the Longhorn Caverns especially, it's just like, yeah, the band would play. It was the world's first underground nightclub. Come bring your dame down. Hear the tunes of the latest on the radio. You know, it was awesome, man. They had church in there to fight Comanches in there. It was awesome. I guess it was the Comanches, not the Cherokee. I think I said Cherokee either. I believe it was the Comanches actually who kidnapped the woman. But of course, like, why would we celebrate any of that? Now it's a tourist destination for all of the Chinese and Indian and Mexican tourist people. And it's all of our ancestors, blood, sweat, and tears, using dynamite and whatever else to clear out this cavern. And now all of their progeny is dead and we'll get all the foreigners coming in and enjoying the work that we did. So great. It's just great. And again, it's hard to understand how we get back to a place of pride and care and you know, genuinely building things to last and building things for your progeny. Yeah, a bunch of white boys slaving away in the Texas summer, digging out rocks. Like, I don't know, kind of down with that. I'm kind of okay with that, actually. Actually, I think now, the more and more I learn, the more I think about politics in general, it's like, I don't actually care if the government does things. Like, that's not the dividing line for me. It's who is it for and why are they doing it and what's going to be the outcome? I'm not any, illusions that we're going to somehow take on the might of the Chinese with like small localized government. Like, that's just not a possibility anymore. Now, what we need to be doing is demanding that the actions our government does take, for which it has infinite resources and infinite capability, that it actually work for us, for the American people, for the people that actually built this country in the first place, and not just be given out endlessly to everybody else. Somebody tweeted out today, like, well, there should really be like a Manhattan Project to eradicate ticks. And this is another thing. And again, I'm like, am I just being a coward here? Because I'm sure there have always been, like, I know there's always the latest thing to fear, right? When I was coming up, it was, oh, mosquitoes give you the West Nile virus. That was the big fear thing. I haven't heard West Nile virus in 10 years. Whatever. There's always going to be something to make you scared of going outside. But nowadays it's like alpha gal, the tick. If you get bit, you can't eat red meat anymore. I think I've got a pretty good excuse for being afraid of ticks now because I like meat. In fact, it's just like the only thing I like eating. So I feel like I have a bit of a reason, not because succumbing to the fear mongering, but because we actually have these mad scientists carrying out what I believe to be deliberate bioterrorist attacks against America using these ticks. Am I wrong? Because, again, I'm like, am I just turning into, not even my mom, because my mom didn't do it. Am I turning into my friend's helicopter mom where it's like, watch out for ticks now. You have to remember not to get bit by ticks. I'm like, seriously. No, there are gain of function, homunculi ticks out there who will poison your blood and make you allergic to life. So good Lord, watch out for the ticks. And then, I mean, today we're going to talk a lot about the data centers and the way that, like, we really are destroying the earth in every possible way you can imagine, like destroying nature, destroying water. It's all being destroyed faster now than it ever has before, even though for the last several decades we've been endlessly propagandized about environmentalism and climate change and all this other crap. We nevertheless are speed running our natural resources into non-existence, into extinction. And I think that's wrong. Personally, I'm against it. I'm against letting out biologically manipulated ticks. I'm against all of this. But the person goes, you know, I think we need a Manhattan Project to deal with these ticks, which I'm completely in favor of. Again, I could see the libertarian side of me going, oh, another big government project, huh? It's like, yes, to eradicate the ticks that I guess the problem is the government probably released the ticks in the first place. So this is a sort of, you know, problem reaction solution, unfortunately. But, you know, my response to it was like, well, I mean, a Manhattan Project to eradicate ticks in North America, that would cost like $1 billion. And unfortunately, we just spent $25 billion, paying Somalis to watch after other Somalis. And then they don't even actually do that. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. It's like we got a real problem, real issue. The alpha-gal syndrome, the tick spreading is crazy. It's devastating. It's absolutely something our government not just should, but is like obliged to deal with. I don't think there's going to be a free market solution to tick eradication. Sorry. I just don't think, you know, I don't think we're going to find the money in our budget for that this year. Like what? You know, so no public or no private company is going to do this. It's got to be the government doing it. It probably wouldn't be that expensive. It probably would. They probably would be able to do it. Now, unfortunately, knowing the government, their solution would be like, well, we're going to release more geo-modified ticks. This time the ticks are, you know, programmed to not be able to breed. And so we're going to send a bunch of sterile ticks to kill out the, and it's, then we're going to find out 20 years later they can breed and create some sort of mutant super tick that eats babies, you know? So I just, you know, the obvious thing to me would be like, if I had $1 billion, I think I would divide that up by however many you'd pay 10,000 people and just go, all right, you all have a quota of 10,000 ticks. Or here's an idea. What if you like invested a whole bunch into like bat conservation, since bats eat a quarter of their body weight in bugs in 30 minutes? That would extremely rapidly, or, you know, possums eat ticks. Can we do some sort of program where we help to manage this population? But no, there's no money. There's no resources. That's crazy. $1 billion. You know how much $1 billion is? We can't afford that. Meanwhile, 20, 50, $100 billion going to the Somali daycare scam or the Indian business scam or the light rail to nowhere in California. We have endless resources for everything except for the American people, except for dealing with actual problems that may have in the first place been caused by the government, regardless. Can we deal with the ticks? Can we deal with the fact that our lakes don't have water in them anymore because of the data centers? Like, how about we just have basic, competent people in government who don't despise our population, and none of these issues would exist? None of them. None of them would exist. You don't think America could deal with ticks? We built the Hoover Dam in like 48 hours. We built the Empire State Building in an afternoon. We could do whatever we want if we could get the ticks off our back. Ah, these ticks are everywhere, these blood-sucking parasites.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking sizes. I am talking about micro becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f- It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying. Not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Gentlemen, welcome back to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the website, AlexJonesLive.com. We also have a new Rumble channel, the official Rumble channel. I gotta say, I'm glad we have an official Rumble channel. I'm glad it exists. Because you go to Rumble, you search, you find 10,000 non-official channels. Our official channel, Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And please do follow us there. And, you know, maybe guys, maybe we should do something like the end of every hour. Y'all can read off like the top comments or something on the Rumble channel. So I want to get more audience involvement. We can take calls later in the show, but, you know, not everybody can call in. So maybe if you leave your, if you have a Rumble account, like make a Rumble account, leave a comment. And I don't know if we can say super chats there either, but I don't know. We'll have to figure something out because I want to start incorporating more of the comment chain or the X comments into the show because this is a community operation we have going here. It's not just us preaching to you. You guys know just as much as we do about a lot of this stuff, and we always greatly appreciate any input from the audience. And of course, your support means the world to us, and we try to make it as easy as possible to support us by giving you the absolute best products. We right now are in the middle of a 48-hour buy one, get one sale, where if you buy one Shilajit gummies, you get another Shilajit gummy bottle absolutely free. And if you buy one Ultimate Creatine bottle, you get an Ultimate Creatine absolutely free. So it's BOGO Sups on right now. Oh, man, somebody took my Shilajit. Oh, man, I was taking somebody. Oh, no, here they are. I found them. Calm down, everybody. Calm down. False alarm. I have my Shilajit gummies. They're brand new. I'm popping a brand new bottle here. But I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. The Shilajit gummies, the CMOS gummies as well. But the Shilajit gummies right now are buy one, get one. That's BOGO Sups at thealexjonesstore.com. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want, but you're only supposed to take one. I won't eat that quite yet because I won't make you listen to me while chewing a gummy, but they are delicious and good, and you can get them yourself for buy one, get one. That ends tomorrow night, so you're going to want to go now. Shilajit gummies and Ultimate Creatine, both buy one, get one. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. It's a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Now, what to get into. I have an issue where all of the news is so bad, I literally like don't even want to cover it. It's a problem. It's an issue because we got to face evil and look it in the eyes. And I don't think it's necessarily just because the algorithm is changing or something else. There is clearly a pattern going on. There's clearly a trend observable right now that criminals are just getting let out over and over and over and over and over again until they murder somebody. And even then, they might not be put away. And this is, once again, not really an issue. Like, it shouldn't be an issue. It just shouldn't. I don't understand why it is. If you arrest somebody 18, 19, 30, 40, 50 times, there's got to be some function in our government that goes, this is too much. It's too much. The guy's clearly incapable of living like a normal human being. So we have to just put him in a cage for the rest of his life. Like, that just has to be the solution. Or we can bring back, you know, physical punishments. I'm genuinely in favor of that. And if you pay attention to the culture, you would be too, because jail is not a deterrent for a lot of these populations. They don't care, and they know they're just going to get let out. I mean, do y'all remember when I think it was a Hispanic guy, but it was the guy who ran over the state trooper while filming it in Las Vegas. And when he gets arrested, he's on body cam of the cop being like, it's fine, I'll be out in 24 hours. This DA is going to let me out. And it's another one of these things where the left liberal worldview genuinely does treat certain people like they're animals, like they don't have cognitive function and are not responsible for their own actions, which is a weird sort of form of white supremacy in my opinion. It's why I always make the joke, because it's not really a joke when it's like, oh, he killed somebody, but he's black. So, you know, what, we can't do anything about that. It's like, what? No, he's a human being. He's a human who made a choice and he killed somebody over it. So he has to pay the price. But there's this weird, like, well, he's retarded. What can we do? You can put him to death. That's one thing you can do. I mean, if he's killing people, between him and an innocent girl on the light rail, yeah, I'm going to put him down, actually, first and foremost. Why wouldn't you? And do you have to wait till that moment? Do we really have to just, like, You get chance after chance after chance after chance. And only when you murder somebody will we go, all right, let's put them away. And again, even then, Colorado, or was it California, just passed a law that downgraded murder to second degree if you only killed one person. It's not that, like, the news is so bad, I don't want to talk about it. It's that the news is so bad and imminently solvable and easily fixable that I don't want to talk about it. Because at the end of the day, all you can do is go, look at how they're killing us. Look, this guy's killing us and that guy's killing us. This guy keeps getting let out of prison after trying to kill us. Yeah, this was the, that was the video of the guy getting run over on his bike by the two teens who laughed about it, bragged about it, and they did get life in jail. Thank goodness. But yeah, but that's the thing. You know, we talked about this when the Parkland shooting happened, and, you know, people were pointing out, like, yeah, you know, they changed this law because they wanted to stop the school to prison pipeline. They had this dumbass theory by Obama or whoever, thank you, who basically was like, well, we got to stop arresting children when they commit crimes because we're setting them up for a life of failure. And so what did the gangs do? They figured that out and they went, oh, so you mean kids can get away with crime? Great. We'll use kids to do all of our crimes. So the crime went up. It was just kids doing it and they just never got punished because the criminals figured out that that was the way to hack the system. So when you have these leftists that just treat crime like a phenomenon, like a naturally occurring event, when certain conditions are met of poverty and whatever else, then crime just spontaneously occurs. They have no solution to this. They have no way to fight back against this. It's got to let it happen. We don't have to let it happen. We don't have to let any of this happen. We can just arrest them. And again, you know, I don't like saying the same thing over and over, but it's the same problem over and over. But until it gets fixed, we have to keep talking about it. So, like, I've got a video here, but a guy from California talking about how a man got his arm almost cut off by an insane drug addict homeless person with a samurai sword. And it's people being like, do we really have to live like this? And the answer is yes. As long as you keep voting for leftists, you have to live like this. You do. Because what other option do you have? You can try to fight the guy, but the guy's got a sword, so that's not going to go well. You can try to shoot the guy, but you guess what's going to happen to you if you succeed? See, we don't have anarchy. Sounds like we do. When you hear about a guy chopping another guy's arm off with a sword, it sounds an awful lot like anarchy, but try to stop him and you'll see exactly how tyrannical our current system truly is. I'm not sure what number it is, guys. This guy walking with a hat and he's talking to the camera. Here it is. A man living in low-income housing in Venice Beach, California, came out with a samurai sword and attacked someone. He nearly severed the 27-year-old victim's arm. Witnesses described blood spewing from the wound. California resident says he's tired of this being the norm and hearing that we just have to accept it in California. Have we found this video? We can go to it. All right, we'll find that. F that, dude. We might have to censor it anyway. A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword, and seemingly the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh crap, these things just happen, this is our new normal. F that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs. This should be a standard expectation.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction these things are, dude, I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs. That's should be a standard expectation. God.
Sorry, I ate a Schillinger gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Schillinger gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Schillinger gummies. Has your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Correct yourself. Fix your brain. Get Shilajit gummies today. Nobody who's taken Shilajit gummies has ever had their arm hacked off by a homeless person. I will promise you that. All right, folks. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. When you get this stuff flowing through your veins, sharpens up the mind, you know. To avoid the tweaker with the samurai sword, you walk around him. You keep your eye out. You keep yourself alert and aware of your surroundings when you're on Shilajit gummies. So if you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. Kidding, of course. But this is what I mean. I'm supposed to discuss this. I'm supposed to comment on this. There's a man running around with a samurai sword trying to chop people's arms off. I'm against that. Personally, I think that's a bad thing. I think America was better before we had Ronin, before we had masterless samurai going around testing their blade against the peasants. I think this is bad and wrong and stupid, self-destructive, and the guy's not caught. They never caught the guy. Can't imagine how you get away wielding a bloody samurai sword, but apparently he got away. He got away. So again, if it was anarchy, this wouldn't be an issue. This wouldn't be an issue because the instant somebody pulls a samurai sword out, somebody else has got a gun. Samurai sword's no longer an issue. Continue on your way, all of your limbs intact, right? Under anarchy, under chaos, under no control at all, you never would have to deal with the samurai wielding psychopath because he would have been killed the first time he stepped out of line. Instead, what we have is a maniac wielding a samurai sword, and I guarantee you, if somebody on that beach had a gun, somebody on that beach pulled out the gun and shot the guy before he chopped the arm off, then whoever shot the guy, despite being a hero who rescued somebody, he would be thrown into jail, probably for the rest of his life. At the very least, he would have had a very public and life-destroying trial while he was given the Kyle Rittenhouse treatment. Right? Right? Hope you had your Shilajit gummies today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around with my own samurai sword. Have you taken your Shilajit gummies? It's a new form of marketing we're going to pioneer. I really shouldn't even be joking about this. I'm sure it wasn't fun having his arm chopped off by a samurai sword, but what are we doing here? But what are the police for? Are the police there to do nothing but stop you from protecting yourself? Because that's how it seems now. So they will not protect you from the samurai sword wielding psychopath. They will, however, hunt you down and punish you if you were to retaliate against him or try to take the law into your own hand. See, they have a monopoly on violence. They have taken unto themselves the ability, the sole exclusive ability to wield violence in America. Now, they seem to not be bothered that much when other people are getting in on their turf. If they're an insane tweaker that's just committing violence against random innocent people who did nothing wrong, then the police are very slow to deal with that. It is just a consequence of the modern world. If, however, you try to take the law into your own hands, you'll see they are not fond of competition, and you will be thrown into jail for the rest of your life. So anarcho-tyranny is the name of the game these days. And once again, I cannot talk about this stuff anymore. I mean, how do we stop talking about this? I guess the question I want to know, how do we move on from this? How do we stop talking about this? And the answer is, of course, you recognize the danger and then you organize to combat that danger and you wield the government to your ends and use it to eliminate the danger. And this is, once again, the thing we have to determine for ourselves is what are the real threats we're facing and how do we go after them? Because nobody in power cares. Nobody gives a damn. Nobody is going to help us. Nobody is going to stop these people. It's up to us. So the media, again, can distract, distort, play down, explain away all of these problems, right? You can turn on the news and hear a terrible attack in a park today when a man wielding a blade attacked another man. That man is injured, and the man is now on the run, and he's lost, and it's a good reminder to always take your Shilajit gummies from the AlexJonesStore.com. But they'll report it in their calm, professional voice, and they'll assure you that the responsible authorities have been alerted and are working overtime to fix the problem, and then no problem will be fixed, nothing will be solved, and they'll move on to the next. Sorry, sports at 9. Next up is weather, and it just goes away, and that's it, and it's over. What we need to do is not listen to them. There's a classic post from The Frog. There's a Frog poster on Twitter, Twitter 1.0. It's one of the best posters of all time. And he has one where it's like, all of our institutions, all of our systems in America have been taken over by foreign enemies, including the system by which we alert ourselves to the dangers that we're facing. Do you understand? So the mainstream media in particular is the consensus maker. It is the mindset unifier. It is the consent manufacturer. And so if they're not the ones telling you, telling us, telling the whole United States, immigration is a danger. Immigration has to be dealt with. Immigration is causing all of these problems. Then nobody's going to deal with immigration. We rely on these news outlets to see the world for us. And if they're only presenting the things that they want you to care about, that's all you're going to see. The classic experience that anybody awake has to relive daily, it seems, is you'll go on a place like X and you'll see story after story after story of the most heinous, horrendous. I don't like talking about it. I've got a clip here about a white girl who's kidnapped by her boyfriend and chained up for months before he eventually killed her. And the details of it are worse than you can imagine. And you'll see that today and tomorrow. You'll see another similar story. And the day after that, you'll see another one. And then the day after that, you'll see a fourth, and every single time it will be criminals with rap sheets 10 miles long committing easily, you know, fixable crimes and just shattering the lives of innocent people over and over and over and over. It's all racial. It's all predicated on race. It's all allowed to be carried out because of the races of people involved. And then you go on mainstream media and you'll hear about how some university has had to shut down because some white professor acknowledged differences in IQ or used a bad word, you know? And it's just, it's why I'm trying to come up with a word beyond inequality, because it's beyond inequality and it's in your face. But the point of all of this is that if the media was honest, and can you imagine America with an honest media? Can you imagine an America where you turn on the news and the media is actually reporting on concerns of the American people, actually reporting on the plague of black on white crime, of the plague of Indian scam artists taking over entire industries, the plague of Jewish separatist groups creating independent enclaves in America to siphon off the wealth from their neighbors like Tyler Olivieri? Hey, there's a place, there's a usefulness for swords. Don't get me wrong. Can you imagine if the media actually did its job to unify the sentiment of Americans on problems that were actually real? It's really not that hard to imagine how easily solved all of these things could be, but they won't do that. They will instead extrapolate and distort singular non-representative examples of things that serve their interests, while the overwhelming, obviously apparent trends go totally unremarked upon. If they are remarked upon, they're treated as distinct and individual instances that have no connection to anything else and certainly cannot be perceived perceived or seen as a pattern to be interrupted. And again, I can't, I guess we can go to some of these things. Again, I don't even really want to. They're all so terrible. They're all so utterly terrible. Let's go to clip 9 here. Why not? So there's this guy. This guy, let's get a load of this. This guy tried to push a girl in front of the train. He was arrested for that. And then the girl refused to press charges because she, quote, didn't want to be responsible for another black man in prison. So instead of going to jail for the attempted murder, because the murder victim is so suicidally empathetic with the person who tried to murder her, he then went on to murder somebody. She didn't press charges. He didn't go to jail for trying to kill her. So he was let out and he went on to murder somebody else. So like, no, why are we not charging her with attempted murder? Why are we not charging her with accessory to murder? Because it wouldn't have been able to be possible if she hadn't willingly gone along with getting him out of prison. She had a responsibility to press charges. She had an obligation to press charges so that it wouldn't happen to anybody else. She gave up that obligation so that he could kill again. But at least no one called her a racist. At least nobody could call her a racist for trying to defend herself against the black guy who tried to push her in front of a train. I am going to call her racist, actually. Look at that. Look at that. She let a criminal go, got somebody murdered, and she still got called racist. Wow. She didn't even get anything at the end of the day. And that's why I have trouble talking about this, because like, for one thing, every story is so utterly horrifying that it makes you want to not go outside. And then it's the fault of the victims at the end of the day. But then you got these dumbass brainwashed white women who are like, literally the guy tries to kill her, 7 prior arrests, throws her onto the train tracks, tries to get her crushed by the train. And she's like, but he doesn't deserve prison. He's black. But he's black. He can't go to prison. He's just a poor innocent black man who doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a poor, innocent baby animal. We can't send him to jail for that. Yeah, I wish he'd gotten shoved under the train. That would have been useful.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. One thing that's kind of hard to deal with when it comes to all of these problems all cropping up all around the world, it almost feels easier to expect somebody else to do it, right? Like right now, we talked about it a little bit last week, but Japan has, for completely inexplicable reasons, decided to, for the first time in their entire history, open up their island to mass resettlement of, in this case, Muslims, of all things. And there is a perfect one-to-one ratio. I mean, the two lines are identical if you map the number of mosques in Japan to the number of Shinto shrines being burned. It is literally directly aligned, like really to a almost comical degree. And if you get into the history of Japan, it's crazy. Like literally God has intervened multiple times to make sure that Japan was not taken over. The story of Genghis Khan and the Mongols, two times they tried to invade Japan. I think it was two times. And both times, they were wiped out by, like, tornadoes in the ocean. Two times. The Mongols. They took everywhere over. Two times, they tried to get into Japan, and they get completely wrecked. Although, I think the second time, the samurai were prepared and fought them. But regardless, it's like, you're telling me that you guys have fought to and did it successfully. I mean, they were a locked down, totally set apart landmass forever. And then all of a sudden, they get this prime minister that is a MAGA fanatic. She comes to America. She has a dinner with Alex Karp and Miriam Adelson. And suddenly Japan decides to open up its borders to Muslims. And they start burning Shinto shrines. Then you have another phenomenon that you see elsewhere other than Japan, but here in America, where Japanese newspapers are withholding the identity of the people who destroyed the shrine. So there'll be an article saying copper plates were stolen from this shrine. They don't say stolen by Pakistani gangs and sent back home. So the media is covering up who's doing the damage. But even so, they're trying to build a mosque just outside of Tokyo right now. And there was a giant protest to stop the building of the mosque. And you see, just like you see in every Western country, phalanxes of police, in this case, you know, the Japanese police, lining up to fight their own people to force the implantation of a mosque. And so again, maybe it's easy for me to offload this onto the Japanese. Yeah, a Japanese cemetery, Hokkaido, was recently desecrated with over 58 gravestones toppled. While the perpetrators are currently unknown, many Japanese online have pointed to the significant rise in Pakistanis in Hokkaido as the potential cause of the desecration. Oh, you don't say. No, you don't say. Again, just go to Japan for like 3 hours. You'll be like, these people, what? Leave these people alone. You need to leave them alone. But you're not going to be left alone. So the Japanese need to fight. Like actually fight. Like the thing to understand, the thing to realize is that they're going to do whatever they can do. I'll show you more videos on the other side of what's happening in the Netherlands, just like it's happening in the UK, just like it's happening in Ireland. You have the Dutch police brutalizing any civilian that merely states their opposition to the full-fledged replacement of native Dutch with hostile foreigners. And so at a certain point, you have to realize, like, they don't care. They don't care about your protests. They don't care about your votes. They're going to do what they can. They're going to do what you let them do. And if you don't want Muslims taking over Japan, there's one way you stop them. You make them scared to come, and you make your government scared to bring them. That's it. That's the only answer.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something, I think it's great, and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our Methylene Red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that, found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk the cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the attack continues. The attack against civilization itself, as simultaneously, all over the world, in exclusively white countries, the governments of those countries have decided to use a combination of propaganda, of forced, compelled speech and censorship to indoctrinate people into accepting their own demise, while simultaneously not needing you to accept anything, because if you oppose them, they will stomp your face into the dirt and do it anyway. That's the message they're sending. It's long past time that we take them at their word and take them seriously and understand that anything else they're saying is a lie. Anything else. Britain might be the best example to look at. And the absurdity, the insanity, and there aren't even words for it. In 2016, they voted for Brexit. And they voted for Brexit almost exclusively because of the issue of immigration. Sure, there were some concerns about fishing rights in the north and, you know, economic trade here or there. But the vast majority of people who voted in that plebiscite, in that referendum, were voting for immigration reform. They were voting to exit the EU and therefore exit the requirement to be part of the free travel of the EU that allows people to come over to England. England, I remind you, should have exactly zero refugees, zero asylum seekers. I mean, again, just like think about how absurd all of this is. In order to be a refugee or an asylum seeker with legal, legitimate, you know, position as a asylum seeker, you are required to seek protection in the first safe country you arrive to. Geographically, England should have zero asylum seekers, zero refugees. You cannot get to England from anywhere else in the world without passing through, like, unless they're refugees from France, the Netherlands, Iceland, or Ireland, UK is not the closest safe land. So there should be zero. There should be zero of these people. But they welcome them in by the millions. They welcome them in to such a degree that not only are entire swaths of England now completely dominated and taken over by them, I believe it is the Bradford City Council that just published their portraits. There's not a single white British person in the government of this township. They've been completely replaced. They have been utterly boxed out. You can imagine the rainbow coalition of diversity. It does not exist, and it has never existed. People like to think that, well, we'll welcome in a million Indians and we'll welcome in a million Pakistanis, and then our town council will be, you know, four British people and three Pakistanis and a black Caribbean and a Chinese expat and the, no. What you get is all Pakistani Muslims. That's it. You get no white people, no Christians, no Hindus, no Jews. You get monolith. You get the opposite of diversity. You get an invasion and a usurpation and a conquering. Duh. So that happens. And again, it happens to such a degree that not only are the populations that are brought over big enough to actually carry out like sustained coordinated rape gang activity, but it's then covered up by the authorities that understand the prime directive is get Pakistanis in, cover up anything that would work against that mission. So in 2016, they fight like hell. They fight tooth and nail. They launch this long shot, ridiculous at the time, seeming demand with Nigel Farage in the EU. You remember when Brexit won, what was his famous line? Who's laughing now? Or you're not laughing now, right? Because when he first said, I want Britain to exit the EU, he was laughed at. He was mocked. It'll never happen, they said. Nobody wants it. So shut up. He fights for a decade to get this thing to actually have a vote. They spend the whole campaign in the lead up, you know, tearing British society apart on this question. You know, it was this the biggest political movement ever in the UK. Brexit wins against all odds. And then nothing happens. Nothing. I mean, can you point to me where it was all about immigration? And the people writing articles at the time said over and over, because their main argument against it was like, if you vote for Brexit, it's because you're racist. You're a racist Brexiteer. This is all about race. This is all about immigration. Of course it was. And the majority of the British voted for less immigration, just like in every European country ever, every time they've ever held a vote about immigration. The result has been they want less immigration. They want a restriction of immigration, a reduction of people coming in, and an expulsion of people already there every single time. And they never get it. They never have. They never will. It's not going to happen. That's not the way things work. I think it may have been Way of the World or no, it was Morgoth's Reviews. Morgoth's Reviews on X has a classic tweet that's like, there's something so sick about the way that we are all frantically trying to vote our way out of a system that we did not vote ourselves into. Isn't that absurd? In fact, it's because it's the opposite. Not only do we not vote ourselves into this problem, we voted to not have this problem. They did the problem anyway, and now we're thinking a vote is going to fix it? That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. That's obviously not the system you live in. So like I said, maybe it's easier for me as an American to have a view of like Ireland. Like, am I expecting too much? Am I expect, cause my vision of Ireland is like car bombs in the '90s, right? I mean, wasn't that you guys? Wasn't it like fighting imperial takeovers for 100 years? Was it like, we're going to do car bombs and petrol bombs and arm our young women and we're not letting this island be taken. Like, wasn't that you guys? Like, am I expecting too much for you to carry over that, just a modicum, just maybe a percentage of that same attitude towards the actual deliberate genocide of your people and full-fledged takeover of your entire island? Have I put too much hope in this concept? Is it, because like, I gotta admit, I'm sort of, don't have a lot of hope for America. I really don't have a lot of hope for America. I mean, you got, you know, things like this. Woman indicted for attempted arson at Texas Republican Party headquarters left note saying FJDJTFICE. Like, when I think of America, I think of people like this everywhere. And it's kind of like, what are we even supposed to do at this point? When it's our own countrymen who are just destroying everything as quickly as they can and getting away with it for the most point and being funded for a large part as well. And so I just have to look to Japan and be like, but you guys have kept your, you know, ethno-nationalist character. You guys have kept your homogeneity, right? You have kept your purity in this chaos. You're going to give it up now? You're going to give it up now because your prime minister agreed to let Miriam Adelson and Alex Karp drop 500,000 Bangladeshis into your neighborhoods? Why? And am I expecting too much? Where is the spirit to stop this before it happens? You know, it's like, here I am in multicultural hell, in diversity hell, screaming to the people on the other side of the wall, like, stop it while you can. It's just starting now. You can still stop it. You can still stand up. You can still extricate yourself from this. Don't fall for it. Don't let them get a foothold. You have to stop them. You have to physically stop them. They have to be afraid to come to your country. And the government has to be afraid to bring them. That's the only answer. Nothing else works, folks. What other option do you have? You can vote. They ignore it. You can protest. They beat you with sticks. They are telling you the lesson is being ignored, but they're trying to teach you it. You have to fight them. And here we have to fight them too. It's just, at a certain point in America, it's like, well, you know, we got too many traitors. We are almost at this point, like too far gone. And of course, this is the plan, right? This is the reason why. It's kind of hard to, you know, expect your police force to stand up against the native born if the police force aren't even native born. You have a police force full of Muslim people. They'll be happy to go crush the natives, kick their teeth in for daring to protest against the new importation of hundreds of middle-aged men from God knows where in the world. And as far gone as Europe seems to already be, as America already is, they are ramping up again. They are ramping up for another major push for immigration, just like they did in 2015 under Angela Merkel. They're doing it again. And in this case, it's Spain leading the charge. And once again, the false dichotomy that we endlessly find ourselves in is that either you can be a slave to Israel and the wider, you know, Jewish diaspora, or you can be against Israel, against the genocide in favor of, you know, the Palestinian people, but you also have to actively destroy your own country and your own people. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would even have to make this argument. Like, is it like, what even compels people to their stances? Like, what compels a leftist to be against what's happening in Palestine? Is it really that they think it's white supremacy? Is that really it? Do they really think it's like an expression of European colonialism and they're against European colonialism? You're telling me if the Israelis were doing everything that they're doing now, committing all the same atrocities, all the same everything, but they were like, instead of being Israelis, they were the real Israelis. They were the black Israeli, Israelites, the black Hebrew Israelites, whatever they're called. If it was a bunch of like dudes from Ghana doing all of this, would they not care then? I have to think they actually wouldn't. They actually wouldn't. Like, they only care about Palestine because they think it's this racial division. Yeah. Pedro Sanchez. Is Spain's anti-Israel prime minister on the wrong side of history? So he's anti-Israel. He stands up against them, and then he turns around and goes, by the way, I'm opening up our border, and I'm going to give citizenship to 500,000 people. And by the way, we don't have a way to guarantee if you've already gotten citizenship or haven't, or how to count them. So now you just have incentivized literally millions of Africans to come to Spain, demand citizenship, and then, you know, create one out of fraud if they don't get it officially. And these stories are being spread. So I don't get it, man. I really don't. I really, really, really don't get it. Because there's nothing to get, because it doesn't make any sense. Because it has to be the result of deliberate and concerted and contradictory propaganda. Yeah. Yeah. If this was Benjamin Netanyahu, the left wouldn't have crap to say. They'd call you a racist for disagreeing with it. Which this is what I mean. It's like, can people not recognize this? What? I don't know, man. It's so weird. It really is. If it was black people going, oh, if you criticized the genocide we're carrying out, that means you're a racist. Right-wingers across the board would say, shut up. We know what you're really doing. This has nothing to do with race. I'm not racist, you idiot. I'm against you being a terrible person and killing people, obviously. Oh, but somehow when the Jews do exactly the same thing, the Republicans just fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Something's not adding up here. Something's not adding up. And the more you look around, the more you realize, like, it is this Israeli control of America that makes everybody insane. Because it makes people insane. It forces you to act insane. The Ted Cruz and all these people, I mean, Randy Fine, Lindsey Graham, it's like their positions don't make any sense on the face of it. The dichotomy that's built in America doesn't make any sense on the face of it. Because what should be happening is all of those left-winger socialist dudes on universities that are standing up against the genocide in Palestine, in a normal world, those people would be able to recognize and understand that their entire belief system is dependent on and hinges on and is born out of classic American culture. White Christian men created the worldview that they are fighting for, but they don't recognize it. They can't acknowledge it. They instead conflate the brutal genocidal nature of Israel with the crap lies they've heard about the likes of George Washington and others from the very people that are like running Israel, like the Maxwells, Ghislaine's dad who wrote all the textbooks here in America. And this is like very real. I mean, I always think about there's that famous history book. If the crew can remember what it's called, it's the one that basically came out and said that Columbus was genocidal and killed everybody, and the people's history of the United States. Guys, look up the people's history. Who was the author? Because Howard Zinn is like the quintessential person that you follow his sort of trajectory in his life and you start to understand like how we got to the situation that we're in. And I wonder if Matt Walsh is going to touch on this, because Matt Walsh is creating a new series where he's talking about the civil rights movement and MLK and the truth about MLK and the truth about people funding him and who wrote his speeches. And he was funded. The people who wrote his speeches were all like hardcore Jewish activists, and they brag about it. And again, this is one of these weird things where if you go to the ADL or the SPLC, they will have posts and articles and museum exhibits bragging about the way that Jews were instrumental in the civil rights movement and they were the power behind MLK and they celebrate, and it's wonderful. If instead you're like, wait, so the Jews were behind the civil rights movement? They go, well, how dare you? How dare you say such a thing? That is a blood libel and an anti-Semitic smear. Watch Howard Zinn. Go read the book responding to Howard Zinn's book. Howard Zinn's book is The People's History. And a woman wrote a rebuttal to it and explains how the entire book, The People's History of the United States, was a like deliberate act of subversion by Howard Zinn, who could have only written it by deliberately taking portions of like Columbus's diary out of context. Like it's just nothing more or less than a literal blood libel. That he goes in, he looks at American history, and he decides to present it dishonestly, to lie about it, in order to progress the idea that white people are bad, white supremacy is the worst thing in the world, America was born from an act of genocide. None of this is true, but almost all of it gets its start with the people's history of the United States. Coincidentally, Howard Zinn lived right next door to Matt Damon when he grew up, which is why you have in Good Will Hunting him referencing the people's history to Howard Zinn and the ideas of Howard Zinn sort of permeating throughout the leftist activism and the liberal mindset informing Matt Damon's movies, especially his early work. But obviously this is pushed and now it's taught as absolute fact. Now you grow up, you see the TV special saying it, you read the books that say it, your textbooks say it, your teacher says it, and it's all fake and it's all wrong and it's all a lie. But that's not even the part I'm talking about. Howard Zinn, who grows up in America, born in America, the first job that he has out of college is go teach in a finishing school in like Louisiana, somewhere deep down south, Mississippi or Louisiana. It was a black women's finishing school. And at the time, it had the reputation of being the finishing school of like royalty. And it was all black female student body. You can tell a woman from this school. I don't know if the crew can find the school name, but they had like a, it was like, she's a Harvard girl. You know, it had this name. It was like, they sit up straight. Their backs are straight as rulers. They their etiquette is perfect and refined. It was a finishing school, and you came out of that school as like a straight up, royal. You could eat with the queen and not hesitate for a second which spoon to use and how to drink. And that was the type of finishing school that he started working at. He goes there and like single-handedly destroys that school and gets a bunch of the students arrested by like holding civil rights rallies and then getting all the students to come. And then he leaves right as the cops show up and the cops arrest all the students. And then they like try to fire him because he's just clearly just comes into this nice conservative, community and just starts propagandizing all the children. No, you're all oppressed. You all have to stand up. You all have to come be a revolutionary with me. And Spelman, right? Spelman College. Look up, Howard Zinn at Spelman College. So he like creates the, they were fine. They were angry. There wasn't this, festering sense of like, oh, we're being oppressed. It was a finishing school. It was the nicest finishing school. They were proud of the people that they would turn out. We're just as classy, just as capable, just as refined as any white finishing school. Howard Zinn comes in. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. Gets all these kids to become revolutionaries, to reject, the things they're being taught. Go hold these protests and sit-ins, get arrested and beaten by the cops. He jets out, never pays a price for it, shows up at school the next day. They're like, they want to fire him. So then he launches a lawsuit to stop them from firing him. So just to get the guy off the back, they have to like settle with him. It's just, he's just this like engine of poison, of like civilizational poison. And it's just like, that's what he does. That's what he's done his whole life. And his ideas, his ridiculous psychotic anti-white blood libel has now been made the foundational understanding of America for kids coming up these days. And he is a relentless monster, an endless font of subversion and chaos and misery and lawsuits and like news articles where he's lying about everything that's happening. And he's not just destroying, white America and our history. He's destroying black America and radicalizing the students and tearing down their institutions. And it's just like, do we not recognize an enemy when we can see one? Can we not recognize that this guy is not some good-hearted American that just wants everybody to be respected and he's concerned about some things in our past? No, he is a relentless liar and tearer down of real history because he is a Jewish supremacist racist who uses chaos as a weapon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been running a series of flash sales for only 2 days. And the last sale ended last night, Saturday night, like I said. I'm announcing this live on air Sunday night, the 10th of May, 2026. So you have 2 days through Monday into Tuesday to get a massive buy one, get one free deal at our sponsor that owns the Alex Jones Network. Keep us on air, thealexjonesstore.com. And these products really work. Obviously, I want to be the most accurate news. I want our products to be the best. So you take them and you love them and you get blown away. Now, let me tell you about chili. You can go research it. Even top scientists don't know how it happens. It's millions of years old. It's mainly in the Himalayas and a few other mountains.
like the Carpathian Mountains and others. When they have a big earthquake, it will be revealed, and it's like this black tar inside the rocks. And it's full of all these insane peptides that just do amazing things for men and women and stamina and energy and libido and everything else. We have private labeled at thealexjonesstore.com the top rated brand in the United States over a year ago. So when you get our Shilajit, you are getting the top rated brand private labeled by us at a price a little bit lower than it's sold at Whole Foods and in stores around the country. This is, we don't reinvent the wheel. Most of our products are just a private label of whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the best. That's what we go out, we get, we private label it. You get it from us, it funds the operation. So, if you've never taken our Shilajit, this is about in the last year. It's got 5-star ratings, 90%+ reorder rate, thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one Shilajit naturally flavored gummies, pineapple, get one Shilajit gummies bottle free. It's a huge bottle full of these delicious gummies. Just take one a day. It's ultra concentrated, the highest quality Shilajit, and a bunch of other super nutrients as well. Also, ultimate creatine. Not all creatine is created equal. Everybody knows it's great for muscles. It's even better for the brain. Look up creatine and Alzheimer's or brain boosting. We have the very best creatine, the very best type. Read the type of this. Look it up. We're not making that up. We want to sell you what really works. You can get Shilajit gummies, the very best, with the best creatine in a 48-hour, buy one, get one free sale right now. So, either one of those, the Shilajit gummies, the ultimate creatine, you have 48 hours as of Sunday night. It ends May 12th. You have 2 days to take advantage of this right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, there's another big sale that ends in a couple days. 3 different bundles. The Modern World Survival Stack. Normally 147, now 89. Shilajit capsules, atomic defense, immune booster. It's good for your whole body. The Irish sea moss capsules for a massive discount. That is the Modern World Survival Stack. We have the Gut Detox Defense Stack, Zeolite Detox, highest quality private label of zeolite that detoxifies spike protein, heavy metals, draws it out. So important, an incredible zeolite detox defense with the T3, best iodine on the market, the most pure on the atomic chart. One of the main things the enemy does is make sure there's not good iodine in the food supply. We have the very best, or most of the iodine that's out there is bound to another element, so you don't absorb it. This is pure iodine. It's incredible. T3 to affect iodine and bovine colostrum, a private label, the highest quality bovine colostrum out there. Women already know about this. It's the main thing women buy from us, but it's your skin, your hair, your eyes, everything. The first 2 weeks of any mammal's milk is just super powered. That is what this is, concentrated bovine colostrum. Normally $148, now $99. And some other big sales are about to end as well. Take advantage of them now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. Be the reason we stay on the air at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Want to thank you all for your support. Be a VIP. Get $40 to spend free in the store now as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. It's War Room Live. This is one of those stories. I got so much more to cover. I got so much more to cover in the second half of this show. Talk about Thomas Massey, where that's going. The data centers are just really reaching intolerable and levels beyond description, really. Like, it's the data centers especially are a great chance to sort of examine the reality of power in America, and the knowledge that anything you try to do will be met with red tape. Anything you try to do, no matter how good or beneficial or beneficent or giving, you're going to run into roadblock after roadblock. And then there's the flip side, which isn't just that the bad guys get to do whatever they want. They get to do whatever they want to any degree, at any scale, and they get to force you to pay for it. And they get to use eminent domain to buy your house out from under you. And it's not just, well, they get subsidies. It's they put the cost of the investment onto you, and then they reap the rewards. You take the risk, they reap the rewards over and over and over again. So I want to get into that. Talk about that a lot. And honestly, again, it's the real issues we have to concern ourselves with that are actually real and actually, you know, require something to be done about it are so monumental. And then you read mainstream media or anything else, and it's like they have everybody in a state of insanity and a state of inversion. And it's almost too big of a scale to even talk about. Like, this is one of the stories that I was mentioning. I didn't grab this video to be an example of this, but I said earlier that you'll see video after video, story after story of just white people being targeted for their race and murdered, being scammed, you know, by ethnic, you know, tribal gangs and networks of Indians or Somalis or whoever it is working together to scam the system that only white people pay into time and time again. And then you go to the mainstream media and you read headlines about some minor, debatably racist event that it's like, oh my God, all attention on this tornado sirens, you know, red alert. We got a white person that doesn't sufficiently hate themselves. This has to be top story national, if not international news. Meanwhile, oh, the systematic rape of white women in UK. We don't really talk about that. We're going to keep that on the down low. So New York Times today, like, there are so many stories we've covered in even just the last week or two where it's like, since COVID, 90% of the jobs developed since COVID have gone to foreigners. That's just foreigners. That's just place of birth. Then you add on top of that the celebration that they had, where they said, you know, after Black Lives Matter, corporate America said they'd hire more people of color, and they did. And for the last 10 years, almost 100% of the new executives at companies are not white males. Not because they're more qualified, but because white males are deliberately discriminated against. That has downstream effects that are obvious and horrifying and undeniable. Story after story after story of white people and Americans both being deliberately excluded from companies, being fired in favor of hiring H-1Bs. Every day there's a new story. Every week there's like a cacophony of these things. Then you go to New York Times. What are they talking about? Who are they advocating for? It's getting unfriendlier. International students race to find jobs. Guys, don't you feel so bad for the Chinese people that aren't getting your job here in America? I mean, this is terrible. We have to do something for them, right? I mean, sure, I could show you example after example after example of Microsoft and Amazon and Disney firing thousands of Americans and immediately hiring foreign employers. But, you know, we really got to think of the foreigners on this one. People are actually opening up the New York Times and sitting there thinking, gosh, we've really got to do something for these international students. They can't get jobs here in America because of those racist white people. It has been 10 years of deliberate and illegal and explicit discrimination against white people and against Americans. And they're still writing articles about how international students aren't being handed a six-figure job right out of college here in America. What are you supposed to do about this? When it's not just they're not covering the plight of white Americans, they're doing the opposite. They're encouraging and whipping up hatred against white Americans when we are the ones being discriminated against. We are the ones who are losing jobs in our country. What the hell? New York Times, May 11th, 2026. Students have been passed over for jobs and interviews because of visa restrictions. Some have a plan B, leaving the United States. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, my gosh. You have to go back to your country where you're a citizen, where you were born and raised, where you speak their language, where you grew up with them, where your family lives. Oh, my gosh. No. No, you're supposed to come here and bring all of them with you. Well, you're not supposed to have your own people with your own companies who can hire you. No, you're supposed to be given an education here, and then we'll give you a job here, and then your whole family can come here. What? again, this is like, I can't even get mad. That's what I mean. It's like so crazy that like, yeah, maybe I should be like raging and yelling about this, but it's more just like, is everybody really this stupid? Is everybody really just watching our future be robbed out from under us? And they're sitting there going, gosh, I hope the thieves don't break their fingernails. Gosh, I hope it doesn't hurt their back to walk away holding everything we've ever built and owned and my inheritance and my heritage. I hope their back's okay carrying all of that to their own house. It's like, what, like, wake up. And again, you get the story of the girl shoved in front of a railroad, you know, shoved in front of a subway train, shoved onto the railroad tracks, nearly dies, and she can't even say, hey, yeah, throw that guy in prison. What am I going to do? How am I supposed to convince her? I'm supposed to argue with her? I could shove her in front of a train track. It wouldn't change her mind. So what do we do here? Exactly. And the thing to do is to take your own side and, you know, viciously discriminate against all of these people. New York City woman declined to press charges against subway shover because she didn't want to put another black man in jail. Weeks later, he allegedly killed retired teacher 67 at a station in almost exactly the same way. I would love a follow-up to the young woman. Now that you know he went on to murder somebody else, do you think maybe you should have pressed charges at the end of the day? I doubt she'd say yes. I bet she'd say no, I did the right thing. Because they're divorced from consequence. They I don't know why. They like cannot understand how cause follows effect. These people are crazy. This is what I mean. She's probably happy. She's probably like, oh, he killed a 76-year-old? What race was he? That would probably be the defining thing. If she found out that the black man killed a black man, then she might say, well, you know, they're black. What are you going to do? But if a black man killed a white man, he probably deserved it. An old white man, that's the most racist type, I'm pretty sure. Same type of thing here. I have like 1,000 videos, give or take. Like 1,000 videos of the way that... I hope you guys reckon. I hope you guys like feel the same sort of overwhelmed. Like I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed at the stupidity. I'm speechless at what they're trying to and in many cases successfully pulling off. Because not only is there an obvious threat to our food supply in the form of the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, the lack of fertilizer getting to people, the lack of trade, like so many reasons why the food production in America should be in a state of emergency right now. Simultaneously, you have thousands and thousands of these data centers going up who consume as much energy production and as much fresh water as entire gigantic cities. And the left's not talking about that. Meanwhile, Vox News is writing articles saying the climate crisis and its heat is coming for your groceries. They're actually saying that it's extreme heat that's wiping out the food and that it's climate change caused by you driving a car that's causing this to happen. Again, what are we supposed to do about this? What are we supposed to do when the obvious thing actually happening here is being covered up and it's such a blatant and apparent and just undeniable way we're just being screwed at every possible level. So this is what I mean. It's like they're still pushing climate change, but they're not using climate change to stop the data centers. The data centers are being built by the very people, the very industries that are responsible for the whole concept of climate change, let alone the measures taken to combat climate change? Does the left ever feel like exhausted at the fact that everything they believe is wrong? Everything. They have to realize it at some level, right? I'm just like, can you please tell me that they're just lying? If I just knew these people were all full of crap, it would be so much easier to deal with this. But I know that there are people out there that just genuinely fall for this crap, genuinely believe this crap, and will never wake up from it. Same type of thing. Vox, again, this far leftist rag has this headline. They changed the headline, what it was originally. Falling birth rates don't have to be a crisis. What it says here, birth rates keep falling. We need a plan for older America with fewer kids. Again, I just can't. If you don't understand what's wrong with this, how am I supposed to explain it to you? The crisis is that we're not having kids. We're not at replacement level. Our population is going down. Yet simultaneously, we're building so many new houses that lakes are going dry, springs are running dry, and cities are like doubling their footprint in the last 10 years. We're at below replacement level, but somehow we have so many new people that we can't build houses fast enough to house them all. It's kind of messed up. If I come to you and I say, you know, I'm having this problem. Say you got a newly married couple and they're like, we're having trouble getting pregnant. Is your answer to say, let me tell you how to get used to that? Let me explain to you how to come to terms with, accept, and in fact, trick yourself into enjoying the fact that you're going to be alone forever. You need to learn to be okay with this. After decades of decline, U.S. fertility rates are now at historic lows. It actually climbs until 2007. And then collapses. And I've seen even more dramatic charts than this. And the question is, what happened in 2007? And the answer is obvious. There's two things. The iPhone and the economic crash of 2008. Birth rate is tied to the economy because people decide whether or not they can have children based on whether or not they can afford children. It's like the article we read. Yeah, there's the even more dramatic one. Where you can just see it sort of falls off a cliff. That's in the 60s. So that's the introduction of birth control. And there's the very dramatic fall off for 2007. And that top line there, the line that we just brush up against in 2007, that's replacement rate. So we've been below replacement since 1976. We climbed up just to replacement 2007, then the economy crashed and we've never recovered. So it's directly tied into the economy. And that's why, you know, you've got Vox News basically saying, yeah, birth rate's down, but first of all, it's a good thing that it's down. Plus we need immigration to bring it back up. Plus, like, you know, it's just, again, what am I supposed to say? These people are anti-human. They're anti-life. They're literally not interested in solving the birth rate crisis. They don't find it a crisis. They think it's a good thing. They want it. Their policies brought it about, and they will only talk about it if they're trying to downplay the threat and make you okay with your race going extinct, which is the inevitable consequence of year over year of being less than replacement level. But we can see from the charts and from just every study ever done that this is a consequence of the economy. It's a consequence of people not having good jobs, people not feeling safe and secure in their positions, not being able to afford a house in the school zone that they want, as well as the greater emphasis on higher education, especially for girls. That intrinsically means you're putting off having a kid for 4 years And then you're going to want to, I mean, it's just all of these different problems eventually lead to just a literal absolute and total collapse of not just fertility, but just families, you know, being the building block of this country. And it sucks because I totally am black-pilled about this stuff at this point, to the point where, like, I literally cannot enjoy things like I should be able to. I mean, I just, you know, whatever. I still have fun and put this stuff out of my mind. But, like, I'm hanging out, you know, over the weekend. We go camping. Went to this, you know, one of these lakes in central Texas. We're having lunch on the patio. And you look around and you think, how could things be as dire as they say? You look around, the weather was beautiful. There's, like, a guy playing country music live on the patio. There's, like, families bringing their boats and docking at the dock and going up to eat in the restaurant. It's all these big families. And I just can't help but be like, it feels like I'm watching the circus while Rome burns. I feel like I'm watching. It's like, yeah, okay, if I was Trump or something, I can see how Trump, like, looks out over, you know, a bunch of boats in a big Trump parade flotilla and going, man, America's kicking butt. America's kicking butt. You look around at a small town in Texas. It's got a little lake there and it's just nice and cool. And then I'm just like, okay, it's okay now. It's okay. But then I'm just seeing the little squeezes, the little caveats, the little, you know, pressures here and there. And, like, you see a family come up and it's the dad and the mom and, like, four kids. And you just think, like, all right, one of these kids is probably going to be seduced by some weird propaganda. Probably not going to have kids because they're going to be gay or trans or something ridiculous. The other ones are being constantly bombarded, whether it's from their friends on social media, from their schools they go to. Their heads are being filled with falsehoods. They're being lied to about their history. They're being lied to about their people. They're being told to hate themselves. They probably will end up hating themselves. It's like the son is going to probably not be able to go to the best school because of his race. Even if he gets, you know, works his ass off and gets a good degree, he's probably not going to get a good job because the people who run the industries are against him in the first place. And I don't know how to explain it to people. This is the way America is being destroyed. It's not obvious. It's not in your face. It's not, you know, towers burning and bridges collapsing. It's the squeeze. It's just the squeeze of the American people, just the grinding down, just grind after grind after grind. It's not noticeable, each individual grind, but every day, day over day, year over year, decade over decade, we're being ground down into nothingness. And you see the way that they're trying to access all of this, you know, wealth, where they're like, oh, now we can dip into savings accounts to invest that. And, you know, it looks like we can squeeze you a little bit more here, a little bit more there. We're going to have, you know, variable pricing so we can jack up prices if we think you can handle it. Then we have this story from Axios. Americans are spending down their savings. So, like, you understand, like, the prosperity, the brilliance of America that we still are living off of, basically, it's being systematically siphoned up by private equity, by the banks, by the government, by the NGOs that are siphoning it from the government. Lower earning Americans are increasingly strapped for cash. On recent corporate earnings calls, some CEOs warned that their customers are struggling to deal with rising gas prices and higher inflation. That's painful on an individual level, but more broadly could be a sign of a slowing economy, a warning to investors, and a hit to the various companies that sell stuff to people. Given that, I'm like, are you a robot or a human being? What's actually happening here is we're being squeezed. We're being juiced. We're going to be left a desiccated, bankrupt husk at the end of this, because there's nobody fighting to reverse this trend. There's nobody that cares about the middle class. There's nobody that cares about building up the lower class so that it can stand on its own feet and build families, build wealth, build communities. You have the ultra, ultra wealthy that own everything already and are desperately trying to get their hands on everything they don't have already. And then you've got the lower classes who they want just living as perpetual dependents on handouts from the government. Do we not see where this ends? Do we not see why, like, you need to be taking this seriously and treating this like the existential threat that it is, even if it's not fire and brimstone and bullets? You are being destroyed. You are being systematically and irrevocably ground down to where generation over generation, not only are you going to be less better off than your parents, your kids are going to be less well off than you. And it's a deliberate process that's occurring to bankrupt the individual so that they don't have the ability to fight for themselves. They don't have extra money to give to political causes. They don't have extra time to dedicate to determining how the world works and figuring out ways to fight for their own interests. And it's just a grinding down. And again, it just, it gives me the feeling of like looking at all these people and just going, I wish I could be happy that you're happy. I wish I could be sit here and go, what am I worrying about? Sun shining, boats running. Yeah, let's just hang out and chill. So I'm just like, you realize every minute you spend just like twiddling your thumbs and watching football and messing around on your boat is another minute that horde upon horde of hostile foreigners is ruthlessly tearing out the foundation of your country. We don't have time to be sitting around enjoying the prosperity of America. The more we enjoy it, the more it goes away. And they're squeezing your savings accounts. They're squeezing your retirement accounts. They're edging up how much everything costs, upping the tax burden just a little bit, and just incremental. Each little piece goes up and up and up and up. And eventually it'll get to the point where not only is your kid less well off than you are, and you're less well off than your grandparents are, but your kid is going to be a despised minority in a country who decides that what his ancestors built belonged to them and that he doesn't deserve it because they made up some lie about a crime his ancestors committed. And then the kid he has is going to start with absolutely zero because they're going to impose some 100% inheritance tax to where any generational wealth you've been able to accrue will be stripped away from you. So everybody starts at zero and stays there except for the people in power who will own it all. Yeah, it sucks.
Sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra Brain Booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on, thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition T-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, Skull Crusher, Brass Knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Sugar Life Feast now. We'll be right back.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, folks, welcome back. Let's talk about data centers. What are they for? Who's building them? Why do we have to pay for them? These are questions nobody's even tried to answer. They haven't made the argument. They haven't explained why. If they cost us nothing and we're being gifted to us, and the billionaires are paying out of their own pocket to benefit our communities, I still would say reject it with all you've got. I still would be resolutely against these monstrosities, these giant digital panopticon prison walls being built everywhere. It's the only reason they could possibly be useful, to build out the digital prison to handle all of the data necessary for surveilling and manipulating you at the cellular level for all of time. That's it. That's the only excuse. But not only are these things being imposed upon us against our will, we're having to pay for it. It would be bad enough if it was all beneficial to us, if it was all just investment of other people's money into our community. It's our money being used by other people to build a monstrosity that we don't want in our communities to be used to enslave and surveil us and probably make a ton of money that will go directly to the people who aren't paying for it, but do have the government connections to force you to pay for it, and in some cases, take your house to pay for it. Let's go to clip number one here. The government is preparing to seize homes and land using eminent domain to build these data centers. Let's watch.
Hey, you guys. My name's Ansley. I live in Coweta County, Georgia. I wanted to come out here and show you guys firsthand what is happening to our county. So as you can see behind me, we have these power lines. Georgia Power is going to expand these lines to support power to the data center. What they're doing to homeowners is they're taking their homes. This is my childhood home behind me. It is being taken by force by Georgia Power. Homeowners in this county do not have a choice. It is called eminent domain, and they will take it.
So that's Ansley Garden. Hey, your house is unfortunately where they want a giant digital panopticon to go. So, you know, it's not like the government's there to protect your rights. The government's there to serve the ruthless multinational industrialists, obviously. Go to clip three here. They want to turn this 1,800-acre farmstead into a total project footprint. 1,800 acres total project footprint of gorgeous untouched land will, I believe, be replaced with solar panels. I think solar panels are going up here. Let's go to clip number three. They want to turn this into 750 acres of solar panels. Oh, man. There are going to be so many solar panels there. Oh, they're going to poison that land forever. Nothing will grow on it after that. But, hey, at least they'll get, you know, the same amount of power you get from a, you know, backyard generator and a can of gasoline. But, hey, why not destroy 750 pristine farmland acres to put down your dumbass, ugly, poisonous solar panels that don't even work. Let's go to clip number four here. This is the state of upstate New York right now. Let's watch.
What have I
We're losing our country, it says. Oh, there are the solar panels.
My sweetest friend.
Oh, thank goodness we have all of these solar panels.
Everyone I know.
You know, if we didn't take over all this massive arable land to put solar panels, we'd have to get the energy elsewhere, like burning, you know, half a ton of coal. But no, we'd rather sacrifice everything we have for the unbelievably retarded scheme of climate change, which is the only reason solar panels are even popular at this point, but are being completely ignored as they rush to build these indescribably huge data centers. Let's go to clip 11 here. It's from Marissa Hansen. This is what it sounds like living next to a data center. Let's watch. Home sweet home. I mean, it was your home before they eminent domained it and sold it to BlackRock so they could build the Israeli Panopticon here. Palantir coming online soon. And
do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I push it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that, found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, folks. I want to go to clip 15 here. Thomas Massey is apparently struggling for support. It's not a sure thing that he's going to win, which really goes to show you how effective the media campaign against him has been. So, in fact, if you watch the Tucker Carlson interview, he talks about the fact that even after Trump had come out against him in the previous election, he still won with like 75-80% of the vote. So this isn't about Trump opposing him. This is about the concerted effort by Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and a bunch of other Israeli firsters to oust, you know, an inconvenient barrier to their ubiquitous support in the American Congress. And there's something almost offensive about how blatant they're being with this, because if these people just even had the most vague respect for the American people, they would put more effort into disguising their participation. But it's pretty blatant. It's pretty open. It's basically Thomas Massey went against Israel, so Israel will destroy him and they'll get somebody else elected. And they're, you know, pretty open about that. It's not exactly a secret what's motivating them. Thomas Massey is like the ideal candidate. He's proven himself capable in Congress of representing his constituents' interests. And yet it is a very telling fact that by controlling Fox News, you control the boomers and you can get them to hate somebody who is sacrificed and fought for them and in favor of somebody who might not even exist. We're not even sure his opposition exists at this point. He got caught using AI to write a Mother's Day description on photos he posted yesterday. So Thomas Massey's opponent, Ed Gillane or whatever his name is, he posts two pictures yesterday. And in the description box under the picture, he accidentally included the prompt from the AI. So instead of just saying, hey there, Kentucky, happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there, it says, here's your prompt for a Mother's Day statement from a politician seeking to win office in Kentucky. Hey there, moms. We love Kentucky moms. So, like, it's Thomas Massey, the real man who's born and raised in his district, who graduated from MIT and built his own house with his own hands and didn't even want to be a politician, but was already doing things, volunteering for free to fix some of the engineering at his local office and decided to up his game and, you know, take his philanthropy to the congressional level. Like literally exactly who the founders we expected and wanted to be the type of people to run our country, versus Ed Gallarane, who is basically an AIPAC creation, a manufactured golem from Miriam Adelson, who doesn't even write his own tweets or, you know, photo descriptions and has AI doing it. So you basically have a literal fake. I mean, it might as well be Kermit the Frog. Might as well be voting for Kermit the Frog and whoever's got his hand up there, right? Like, it's not a real person. It's an AI creation. It's a manufactured placeholder. And yet he might win. And yet Thomas Massey is struggling, which is really like the greatest condemnation. Now, the good news here, the silver lining of this cloud, is either we show that at least in a, you know, the most blatant example, Americans will have the ability to not succumb to Israeli propaganda and actually support America Firsters. If he wins, that's a good thing. If he loses, Thomas Massey for president 2028. So there could be a silver lining to this cloud, but let's go now to Thomas Massey, clip 15. He says, here's my last positive ad for the final week of the campaign, where he beseeches and asks for his constituents to send him back to D.C. But I mean, even the tone of this ad almost sounds defeated, which is pathetic because that just means that a bunch of foreign oligarchs control our government, not us, which is obvious to anybody that's paying attention. But this really should be a final litmus test for whether that's true or not. Let's watch.
This is home. It always has been, and it always will be. It's where I grew up. It's where I met Rhonda. It's the place that taught us both the lessons that we need to head out into the world. Kentucky is the place that welcomed us back to raise our own family after we realized there's no place like it. There are little towns like this all over the district, and it's an honor to be the one you've entrusted to fight for and represent you in Washington. If you'd told me as a kid that I'd been the one that got to do it, I'd have never believed you. But now, I can't even imagine not being the one who got to do it. So thank you for the greatest honor imaginable. It's beyond humbling you've trusted me. Our nation and Kentucky have enormous challenges and problems. But after every visit back home to Kentucky, and talking with you and holding my grandchildren, I'm more renewed than ever to keep fighting. I'm Thomas Massey, and I approve this message. And if you'd let me, I'd be humbled to have your vote and trust again to keep fighting for Kentucky.
So May 19th, 2026 is how you can vote or when you can vote for Thomas Massey. So here's the Ed Galrain post. Here's your polished social media post for your usual campaign/community-focused tone. Today I had the opportunity to meet with folks at the Vanceburg Mayfest in Vanceburg, Kentucky. Can anybody confirm that was even there? I mean, was the picture AI? If you're going to use the AI for the comment, would you not just use it for the picture as well? Do we even need a real candidate? I mean, at this point, can we not have Miriam Adelson hit up some intern and be like, create a politician for me? And he can go to ChatGPT and go create an image of a Kentucky MAGA politician, and Ed Galrain will pop up on the screen. And then they can go, here's your new candidate. What does he believe? Whatever Grok tells him to believe. Why not? You might as well. So that's the question that's being asked with the Thomas Massey primary. Do we even care? We might. I mean, if Thomas Massey loses, that's a bellwether. That's a major bellwether. And it essentially means, like, yeah, you might as well have an AI puppet, non-existent person. Like, why not? Like, can we vote for Superman? How about that? How about Miriam Adelson can just pour tens of millions of dollars into an ad campaign to advertise all over Kentucky, telling them that this amazing candidate named Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, is going to be their elected leader, and apparently get a bunch of boomers to vote for him. He doesn't have to exist. He doesn't have to be a real thing. He doesn't have to be a human being with thoughts and ideas. All he has to be is a vessel for the Israelis, and he might actually win this contest. So that's our country, apparently. And as much as I appreciate the likes of, say, Rand Paul trying desperately to hold Anthony Fauci to account, we got headlines like this. Senator Rand Paul says a whistleblower's revelation about the COVID cover-up is coming as the American people want Fauci behind bars. What are you talking about? A whistleblower? Really? A whistleblower is going to reveal something. Okay. What could you possibly need from a whistleblower? What could you possibly need? What could they possibly tell you that is not readily apparent from absolutely everything we already know? We have Anthony Fauci collaborating with journalists and scientific journals, telling them to publish material to discredit the lab leak theory, and then in the emails saying you better delete these emails because it's like criminal what we're doing. What's the whistleblower going to come along and say that? We already know that. What are they going to say? It was created in a Wuhan lab from gain of function? Yeah, we know. What's the whistleblower going to say? Ralph Baric admitted to working with the CIA in the creation of the virus, and then that man in particular, Baric, was sent to investigate the origins and came to the conclusion that it was a zoonotic spread, even though he knew otherwise, lying to all of us, setting back any legitimate attempt to confront, define, and eliminate the virus. What could the whistleblower possibly tell us, Rand? Are we going to launch another investigation? How many times do we have to have incontrovertible proof of what we know before somebody acts on it? He says, today is the day the DOJ must charge Fauci for lying under oath or lose the chance forever. This man oversaw gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, lied to Congress about it repeatedly, and watched as you were called crazy for asking questions. The statute of limitations expires tomorrow. The American people have waited long enough for accountability. And it's not going to happen. But like I said before, okay, the statute of limitations for lying to Congress may have expired. What he lied to Congress about was that they created the virus that apparently, according to them, killed millions of people and destroyed the world economy and caused untold suffering to millions of people. What's the statute of limitations on that? It doesn't matter because he's never going to get charged because he was playing the role he was supposed to play, and the people that helped him do it are still in power. See, the real thing to learn at this, as soon as we saw, you know, the email, like, you just have to understand that they're all in on it and that there is no hope of getting justice for this because they already know everything that they would need to arrest him, and they're not arresting him. So again, the only thing to do now would be to expand the guilty label to everybody above Anthony Fauci. Like, this is the way this works. Just like if the judge and the police let out the murderer, it's the judge and the police, in addition to the murderer, who need to be held to account for it. If the government bodies that are responsible for maintaining law and order in this case have failed, they also need to be punished for their complicity and participation in the crimes against humanity. They should all be hung by the neck until dead. So, after a trial, after a Nuremberg-style trial, where we present all of the evidence that we already know and have already confirmed and already tell the exact story of what happened, that is not up for debate, not disprovable because it's in their own words. I mean, what are we doing here? As much as I like Rand Paul, it's stuff like this. It's like, don't worry, a whistleblower is coming. Okay, and what's he going to tell us that we don't already know? We just have to punish these people. We have to get these people. That's it. It's the only answer. Again, we can talk more about the just unbelievable and inexplicable size of these data centers. We don't even really need to. It's things like this. Look at this image below. This isn't a statistical adjustment. This is literally the disappearance of our water supply. Between 2021 in 2025, Lake Corpus Christi has shriveled to a ghost of itself, currently sitting at a terrifying 8% capacity. We have officially 180 days. We are officially 180 days away from a total water emergency. The Harbor Island Desalination Plant was the only plan on the table to stop this clock, but the Texas Water Development Board just denied the funding, leaving the coastal bend to dry up while billions were diverted elsewhere. The state saw these exact maps and still chose to leave us behind. What do you think happens to a region when the state delays until the taps are already failing? I mean, that image, the image is incredible. This is 4 years. 4 years. It's gone from a lake to a pond. It's gone from a, you know, sizable body of water to nothing. I mean, that is astonishing. That's like Lake Errol, where they, you know, it's like you're mining and the whole lake disappears underground. But no, it's because they're building out neighborhoods for the foreigners to move into, and they're giving water to data centers, of which Texas is the state with the second most. We have hundreds and hundreds of data centers that all require our fresh water, and now we're building dozens and dozens, if not hundreds more in this state, that will require billions and billions of gallons of water, and we're sucking our lakes dry. This is what I mean, like, this is why I have trouble putting this into words. It's biblical what we're experiencing. The data centers will be the mark of the beast operating system. The data centers will be the tools by which they surveil and enslave us. We're building it out using all of the fresh water we have, some of the best and most, you know, expensive and valuable farming real estate is where it's being built. The pollution and even the noise pollution and the vibration pollution from these data centers will kill all of the animals in the surrounding area. And it's going to be using, every one of these data centers uses more power than entire cities. And we're building these for no other purpose than to enslave us. I cannot express that enough. The only way this could possibly be justified is if we were spending this much money and wasting this many resources because we were building like giant engines to push Earth out of the way of a comet or something, right? If this was an existential crisis and it was like there's a comet on its way to America or to Earth. It's going to destroy all life on Earth. It's a 100% certainty. The only possible thing we can do is put all of our resources and all of our fresh water and all of our population into a mission to just save us, save our lives. That's the type of thing that it would make sense to be upending all of the things that we've ever said about climate change or about pollution or any of this stuff. Not only are data centers not required for the continuing existence of our, you know, humanity itself, it's completely unnecessary. We don't need any more data centers at all, as far as I'm concerned. Frankly, I think too many people are on the internet. I think we could silo off America from the rest of the world, and the internet would improve a hell of a lot, and we wouldn't have to be the infrastructure operating for all these other countries. Where are the environmentalists? Where are the people concerned about this stuff? How are they eliminating gigantic lakes in Texas? There's not going to exist anymore, and everybody just goes along with it. And as I've said a million billion times before, they're doing it on purpose. I mean, whatever. I got distracted. I forgot what I was saying. This all sucks. It just all sucks. What are we supposed to say? What are they doing? Why are they doing it? To enslave you, to destroy you, because they hate you, because you resist them. That's it. That's the answer. So we should stop them. So we should come together and stop them with everything that we've got. That is the existential crisis. Fury, as massive Georgia data center, uses 30 million gallons of water through secret unbilled pipes while residents suffer low pressure. This is what I mean. This is what I mean. It's not just that they're using eminent domain and your tax dollars and all of this stuff. If they want it, if they think it's necessary for their continuing domination of humanity, they get it done. Nothing stands in the way. Nothing. Legitimate concerns about the way this land is being used, overridden. Genuine concern about the water being taken. Doesn't even come up because they don't even tell you they're taking the water. This story's crazy. Georgia residents were left outraged when they discovered a massive data center had been guzzling up to nearly 30 million gallons of water and never paying for it. They never paid for it. They did not tell the city utilities that they were hooking up this siphon out of the city supplies, and they stole 30 million gallons of water for their data center. Can you even fathom, like, can you even imagine what it would take to pull that off? How do you do that? How do you do that? Go try to get a city employee to let you, like, turn on a faucet at City Hall. Like, what? Who did they pay? Who did they bribe? Whose palms did they grease? Can you just go up to your local water utility and plug in a $30 million pipe and nobody says anything and nobody notices? What? The issue began last year when residents of the affluent subdivision of Annalise Park in Fayetteville noted their water pressure was unusually low. When the county utility then investigated the problem, officials discovered that developer Quality Technology Services had installed two industrial-scale water hookups to the approximately 6.2 million square foot data center campus located 20 miles south of downtown Atlanta. One of the water connections appeared to have been installed without anyone at the water utility knowing, while the other was not linked to the company's account and it was therefore not being billed. What? It's a private equity company owned by Blackstone. Again, like, what am I supposed to say about this? They will fine you if you water your lawn 2 days in a row in some of these places. If you use an extra 3 gallons, they'll come write you a ticket because you're only supposed to water on Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever it is. Meanwhile, Blackstone Private Equity Group somehow, again, explain to me how this happens. How do you connect an industrial water hookup to the city utility without anybody knowing? What sort of knowledge do you have to pull that off? How could you possibly pull this off? That's the Atlanta city utilization, but I don't think this was the Fayette County water system. The company's massive water usage only came to light last week when resident James Clifton obtained the 2025 letter to QTS from public records request and posted it on Facebook. It wasn't even the authorities that discovered it. It was the people that had to point this out. Jeez.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest, best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out. More coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat, then you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. And yes, folks, the... Oh, Trump's aging in reverse. Amazing. Wow, amazing. Incredible. Anyway, they're stealing all of our water. The crew was just looking up 30 million gallons. It's something like 900,000, or was it 95,000 households worth of water, so... You know, this was at a time when they were literally being told to scale back their own water usage. Quote, we get this notification from Fayette County Water System saying you need to stop watering your lawns to help conserve water, said Clifton, a local attorney who's now running for county office. So the first thing they do is lean on individuals and the citizens to stop water consumption. When we have QTS, that's absolutely draining us. Most months, it's the number one consumer of water in the county, not even paying for it. Somehow get a industrial hookup to the city utility without the city knowing about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Let's go down to clip number 18. This is Cumberland County, New Jersey. They say they can't even wash their clothes or drink their tap water because of the new Meta data center. But hey, you know, how else are you going to you know, feed propaganda AI videos to boomers, okay? This is necessary. Sure, it's taking all the water. Sure, nobody wants it. Causes crazy noise, the light pollution. It kills all the animals around it. The vibrations make livestock go completely insane and hurt themselves. And they're all underweight and they don't produce milk because of the state of constant anxiety they're kept in from the underlying low-frequency hum that emerges from data centers. And look, all of these things sound terrible and bad, and they are. But in exchange, we get there's got to be something. I mean, if we're giving up our water and we're giving up our peace of mind, in some cases, people are being compelled to give up their childhood homes they're raised and born in. Their entire neighborhoods are being destroyed to facilitate this. In exchange, we get something, right? I'm sure. Certainly, there should probably be something that we are receiving for the incredible expenditure that we're outputting. But nope, there's actually nothing. Don't know how many times I can reiterate this, but should really think about what that means. Let's go to clip 18 now.
My name is Rhiannon. I live in... So just a few miles from where this data center is going to be put up. And I also did not know that this was happening until 2-3 weeks ago, which is interesting because I'm all over this issue. First thing I just wanted to know is if anybody in my community here tonight is in support of a data center in Cumberland County.
No.
Also interesting to me, I want to read some quotes from some people who live in communities that have already put up data centers. Quote, I've been here 81 years. I can't stay here. Quote, my mom has been here her whole life, 82 years. She's not happy about it, but she does want to leave. Quote, my neighbor was washing my clothes and messed up a whole load of whites because it came out stained from that brown water. A conversation between a journalist and a resident. Do you feel like it's safe to drink? No, I buy water. Have they addressed that? No, they haven't. Have you gotten any information at all? No, none at all. Quote, this is my water pressure in my kitchen. A trickle. Quote, this is where I fill my buckets to flush my toilet. Quote, I can't breathe at home. It smells like gas outside. Quote, you know when you light your stove and the gas seeps with that little ticking noise? That's what it smells like. Quote, my electric and gas bill is more than my car payment. Quote, the light pollution is we don't have to have a nightlight in the house. You can walk around the house at night and see everything. It's that bright. And my favorite quote, a lawyer for Microsoft. Quote, nobody really wants a data center in their backyard. I don't want a data center in my backyard. Data centers, once they're operational, don't bring a lot of jobs. So how do data centers impact communities? Jobs, a few dozen specialized jobs, usually hiring remotely. Electric, bill increases, extreme added burden on the grid. Air quality, increased ER visits due to asthma, COPD, and other breathing issues. Water, loss of water pressure in homes, water tainted with sediment, unsafe to drink, aquifer strain, which, by the way, South Jersey already has issues with our aquifer due to overusage and multiple years of droughts in the summer. Cumberland County is the poorest county in New Jersey. This isn't happening to help our county. It's happening to take advantage of our county. These data centers are only popping up in the poorest communities in our countries because the wealthy people do not want them. They make people sick. They steal our resources, water pollution, air pollution, noise and light pollution. And what do we get in return? 'Cause it ain't jobs. Three counties in Indiana have put a moratorium on building data centers. Several in Georgia, Missouri, Illinois, Arizona, across the country, communities are protecting themselves from this poison. Are we going to allow it in Cumberland County? I want to ask the council, where will you go when the water stops flowing out of your faucets? Where will you go when the air smells like gas and makes you sick? Will you look around for a community whose leaders had the spine to say no to these billionaires? Or will you stay in Cumberland County and offer your children what is left of it to inherit? Thank you.
So it really is a good question. I would love if we could like compel some of these like city councilors to actually explain their reasoning, because I've never heard it answered. Why would we want this? What is it doing for us? What is the benefit for us? Stupid question to ask, honestly, because there is no benefit, because everything happening to us is just an attack, right? It's kind of absurd for me to even ask the question. It's like asking, well, you just slugged me as hard as you could in the stomach. What was for me in that? You know, why did you do that? You know, explain to me the benefit of that to me. There's no benefit. You just got slugged in the stomach. That's what happened. You got attacked. It's like, okay, but can you explain how the attack is actually a benefit for me? It's not. It's not. It's just an attack. It's not beneficial for you. Now, sometimes the attacks will be presented as beneficial for you, but they aren't. They never are. So, you know, they might say that this will bring jobs, but they don't. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you're a white nation, if you're a nation of majority European people, you're under attack. You're under attack from the data centers. You're under attack from the climate change agenda that's gutting your industry from the inside out. You're under attack from the foreign hordes that are routinely invited into your country by people that hate your country and want you destroyed. And I've got videos of Alfonso Goncalves in Portugal, you know, dealing with this. Indians in Portugal are moving in, taking over whole chunks of the country, getting grants from the government to start businesses, hiring only their ethnic compatriots, Indian people, and if you try to stop them, they attack you. It's happening all over the world. What's the benefit for the Portuguese? There isn't one. There's not one. They might say that it's about your pensions, but then they all go on welfare and they don't put any money into the pension plan, so it's not that. They could say it's a falling birth rate. Well, if the Portuguese have a falling birth rate, the Bangladeshis having more kids does not solve that problem. I don't know what else to tell you about that. We're under attack from the censorship and the manipulation on that front. It's just attack after attack after attack. So maybe that's the thing we have to get over. We have to get over the idea that this stuff is even comprehensible as a positive in any possible way. It's all negative. That's why they're doing it. They hate you. And every piece of this is just another part in the global genocide against white people. That's it. That's all it is. That's all that's happening here. It's not that complicated. Shouldn't actually be confusing why they won't answer. It's just the confusing part is that they're not even trying to provide an answer. That's why I say it with the data centers, because one would think that they would have something to offer to these people as a reason, as an excuse. Well, sure, you're going to have to give up your childhood home, but, you know, a bunch of high-paying jobs are going to come in. Nope, that's not going to happen. Okay, but if we have this data center, then we'll have, leverage, and we can use it against the state government to get more funding for schools or like whatever it does. And the thing is, like, if they're so desperate to build these data centers, you could actually use that leverage. At the very least, you could go, look, you can build the data center here, but we need $10 million a year for our education system. We need $20 million a year to fix our roads. We want you to build us a new stadium. I mean, if it's so, you know, important that we build all of these, they won't even try to offer the locals something. They're just doing it and saying F you if you oppose it. Why? Why are we letting them get away with this? And why are we not recognizing the universal nature of these attacks that are also just unbelievably obvious? Because then you've got the stuff on top of it. Then you've got the fact that there's a mysterious pattern of gigantic wildfires taking out a ton of natural land in exactly the location that they want to build the data centers. And one thing when you look into this, kind of like when you look into anything at these higher levels, like this is why it's important to understand things like the Epstein files and understand the type of people we're talking about. So you can really understand, fully embrace the fact that the people we're talking about are psychotics. They're cannibals. They're murderous. They do not care about human beings. If anything, they despise human beings. Nothing is outside of the realm of possibility for them because there is no length to which they will not go to achieve their goals. And they don't have to listen to anybody else about anything. Oh, environmental concerns? Well, it'll stop you from having a backyard garden. You'll get fined for watering your lawn. They get to get away with it. They get to do whatever the hell they want. Because at the end of the day, they see themselves as being at war with you. And these are warfare attacks against you. And as soon as you see it in that perspective, it's all kind of obvious, isn't it? I mean, if you're in a fort and there's a line of tanks firing shells at you, do you sit there and go, what's in this for me? What's the argument? Why should I go along with this? They don't need you to go along with it. They want you to die. And if you resist, they'll single you out for destruction before anybody else. So again, as you look at all this stuff happening around the world, just we've got to stop asking the question, why is this happening to us? And just recognize that it's all an attack. Is this the global blackout stuff, or is this the build out of all the data centers all over the world? From Natural News, from Health Ranger Mike Adams. And he, of course, has also come out with images showing the raft, the shocking rise, the inexplicable coincidence of all of these oil refineries going up in smoke all around the world. I've got two examples from today. Massive explosion rocked the Chalmette refinery near New Orleans. 189,000 barrels a day of capacity now offline. Add it to the Chevron refinery in California earlier this week. U.S. refining capacity is taking hit after hit at the worst possible time. We actually have video of this, clip 10 here. So here's the Chalmette refinery in New Orleans. We can watch that. Okay, goes up in a column of black smoke. They say this is in addition to that Chevron refinery in California earlier this week. And then as of 1 hour ago, from Raw Alerts on X, numerous emergency crews are responding after a large explosion sparked a massive fire at a refinery plant in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Numerous emergency crews and firefighters are on the scene after a large explosion occurred at the HF Sinclair refinery plant in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Massive flames and thick black smoke could be seen rising from the facility for miles, with multiple explosions reportedly heard in the area. Officials say that the cause of the explosion remains unknown at this time. At least one vehicle has been burned, though no injuries have been reported so far. Okay, so add those to the list. Add those to the already sizable list of refineries in Mexico and America, here in Texas, a couple of them in Oklahoma, Louisiana, California. They're all just exploding. And each one of these will be reported on by the local media, who will blame it on an accident or an electric fire or an unknown cause, and then it will go away and it'll never be covered in the national. Do you need a national media outlet to draw lines connecting these events, or are you a human being with a brain? Do you need the mainstream media to lay out for you that there is a pattern occurring here, that there is a circumstance that is suspicious and probably has a malevolent cause behind it? Do you need the bad guys in the media to spell this out for you, or are you capable of basic pattern recognition? Because it feels like if the media isn't telling us that these refineries are being destroyed as part of a concerted sabotage movement, either from people in our own government who, again, this is like in line with what they're doing governmentally or industrially. It's just happening in a sabotage method. But if they could shut these things down by force of the government, they'd do that. Maybe just setting a bomb is a convenient, more efficient way to go about this. And you've got this from Concerned Citizen on X, clip 6. We can run that as B-roll. This clip of the Florida Everglades fire from this morning was taken from a plane. Expert analysis details that the perfectly straight lines of fire rectangle form an area which will perfectly fit a large data center. Well, what do you know? What do you know? From March 11th, 2026, large data centers being built in the Florida Everglades. Now, I get that, you know, wildfires happen. Who's to say that this perfectly straight line that looks like a AI image in and of itself isn't natural? Maybe it is. Maybe. But think about what you already know about these people. Think about what they're already willing to do right out in the open. Are you really so convinced that these people wouldn't start forest fires? I mean, they'll use eminent domain to destroy your entire neighborhood and steal your childhood home. Why not just burn it down in the process? Why not just sort of, you know, get rid of all the bureaucracy and having to pay people for their, I mean, you could make bank off of this stuff. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't they? What would stop them? Their moral compunction? That doesn't exist. The law serves them. Why wouldn't they? This is the type of stuff they can get away with. Massive explosion rocks the Chalmette refinery. The state of upstate New York right now, it's becoming a commercial solar wasteland, all for the form of energy that only converts to 15% of its annual potential in this climate. This is a money laundering scheme between New York, Kathy Hochul, and foreign renewable corporations cashing in on millions in green energy subsidies and credits. Those credits, they're subsidized using your taxpayer dollars and delivery charges on your electricity bill. We need the federal government to intervene in New York State yesterday, but of course the federal government is on board with all of this. This is the tweet that corresponded with that young girl talking about her childhood home being destroyed, Ansley's Garden on X, on TikTok rather. The government is preparing to seize homes and land using eminent domain for the construction of a data center in Coweta County, Georgia. This American's childhood home is being taken by force by Georgia Power. Homeowners in this county will not have a choice. It affects over 330 private properties. Georgia Power says it will negotiate purchases and easement and use eminent domain. Georgia Power claims it's to strengthen the grid for the growing energy demands in Georgia. Due to many new data centers, the lines are widely linked to Project SAIL, a massive proposed hyperscale data center campus that will span 829 acres. So again, I don't know what else to tell you other than you're just like, we're just under attack at every level, in every possible way, in every form they can manage to get their hands on. And it's not going to end until we stop them. And it really is as simple as that. That's it. You have to stop them. We have to stop them. Meanwhile, we're going to be constantly getting pushback from psychopaths who have bought into all the propaganda that tells them they're evil. And we have a lot of this, but let's go. I never played these videos. Let's go to clip 21 and 22 here. These are Dutch natives were protesting against 240 foreigners being dumped into their small town. And this is the way the Dutch police treat the Dutch citizens who are peacefully protesting against the importation of hundreds and hundreds of hostile foreigners, rapists, murderers, and criminals. But God forbid you simply try to express to the government that this is against your interest and not what you want for your town. Here's how the cops will treat you. Clip 21.
Hey, Vic! Hey!
There you go. Hauling a guy down.
Okay, man.
It's a young Dutch man, boot on the neck. Here come the big tough Dutch police. Yeah, you're not allowed to film this young kid getting roughed up. Here he is with a billy club. Bashing him. How dare you oppose colonization in your own backyard? So again, this is the problem. You've got governments that are against their own people, working with NGOs that are importing foreigners, and the cops just go along with it. And God only knows what type of propaganda has been fed to these cops, or if they believe in what they're doing, or if they're just compartmentalized and don't even understand what they're engaged in. But there's something really, really sick and disturbing about these Dutch police officers beating the crap out of Dutch citizens because they're in the way of van after van after van of dudes from Afghanistan or Bengali or wherever the hell else they scoop up this detritus to dump in Amsterdam. And if you live next door and say no thank you, the police are there with a billy club to break your jaw so you can't say that anymore. I mean, it's ruthless, it's brutal, it's disgusting, and it's a sign to you of what's necessary to stop this pattern. It's violence. Violence will stop it. Nothing else works. Do you understand? Because that's the lesson they're teaching you. Am I wrong? What are you going to do? Protest? They beat you with a billy club. Vote? They don't care. Get media attention on it? They'll ban you and throw you in prison for talking about it. There's only one solution. It's violence. And guess what? That's what the migrants do. Why do you think the UK government doesn't try to stop it when there are gangs of migrants wandering around with clubs beating the crap out of any white English person they see? Walking around with golf clubs, just savagely smashing the head of innocent people. Why doesn't the UK put a stop to that? Because it's gangs of young men walking around with clubs bashing people in the head, and they don't want to get bashed in the head, so they just let them do it. Now, you got to be smart. Violence has to be overwhelming. But that's the solution. That's the answer. It's the only answer. It's the only thing that's going to work. And until we recognize that we're under attack and then fight back with sufficient violence, this is just going to keep happening. So I don't support violence, which is why I'm desperate for these governments to stop forcing this on everybody. But there's only one thing that's worse than violence, and that's losing without a fight. So violence is the second worst thing to happen, but not the first. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Stay with us.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts. They're limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked-out, murdered-out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser-engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly. and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexshows.com and thealexshowstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.